Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Today is the conclusion of an amazing interview with Dr. Roger Parrott about his book, The Long View, Lasting Strategies for Rising Leaders. Dr. Parrott is the president of Belhaven University in Jackson, Mississippi, which is one of the fastest growing and most innovative colleges, serving over 5,000 students. Dr. Parrott was named among the 10 most visionary education leaders of 2021 by the Education Magazine. And as one of the longest serving college presidents in America, Dr. Parrott is a fountain of knowledge for Christian parents and business leaders alike. And if you missed any, and I mean any, of the preceding episode with the great value bombs that Dr. Parrott was sharing, well, you just need to go back and catch up. Amen. We do not have the time to cover everything that Dr. Parrott shared already. We have to move on with even more information that he's sharing with us today. Glory to God. Let's jump back into the interview now with Dr. Roger Parrott. In your book, you discuss how over the last 30 years or so, the expectation of business leaders has been focused on short-term profitability instead of long-term growth. And you reference things like, you know, the dot-com bubble and the McMansions that fueled the housing crisis and all that. This type of short-term success-driven policies, you briefly went over how it's influenced ministries and churches, but as a lot of pastors are coming in, you know, like especially with the larger denominations where they may go down to this one place for 5 years and then move on to somewhere else. So they want to make an impact, but are they doing a disservice to the people, the church, and to Jesus for, like you said, not taking that long-term approach? How can they, if they're only going to be there for 4 or 5 years, how can they take that long-term approach?
Yeah, I think it's done through your outlook and attitude. And of course, our friends in the United Methodist often get moved every year or every 2 years now. And so it's a little harder. I think for any of us in leadership, our legacy is what we leave behind, not what we do when we're there. And so how, if you know you're going to be in a short-term situation, how are you equipping people who you know are going to be there long-term and helping them to be effective? How are you changing their outlook? How are you getting them to not just be satisfied with, well, we had this great success. And you know, it's hard for leaders because we get applauded for that. We get applauded for quick fix solutions that are very showy, but those things often don't last. And when you see what Christ did, he often passed up the showy in order to do what was lasting. And I think that's our model. That's where we want to be. And so, yeah, you may not get the same accolades as you would if you did the more showy things, but our integrity and who we are, it matters a lot more than those kinds of things. But the church also, those on the other end of it need to have the longer view. I mean, we say, well, we don't want quick fix solutions. We don't want longer term, but we keep hiring people who have track records of fix solutions. Yeah. And let's start looking for other kinds of things. Let's get people to look at a longer perspective as they face challenges. You know, one of the things we did here recently was the pandemic was coming up and was getting so bad. I was worried about students and their outlook on life, and because they don't think long term, and I wanted to get their eyes up off the immediate issue. So we put something in last year, and we're going to continue it this year, and we may continue it for a long time to come because it works so well. And then we tell students now, if you come as a freshman or a transfer to Belhaven University in our traditional program, and you stay and graduate, we're going to give you a free master's, totally free, that they can take online with either immediately after to the graduate, 10, 20 years later. I want to get them thinking long term. So sometimes as leaders, we've got to take some risks to help the people we serve think long term, not just us think long term. I want to get their eyes off the immediate. And it's a huge bit of that. It's a $15,000, $25,000 gift to every single student we have. You talk about, we talked beginning about going into debt. I mean, this is a way to not go into debt, to have a brand, a free master's in a whole bunch of different areas. Really a great opportunity for students. But again, I think Longview leaders have to think more creatively about how to bring solutions to challenges.
Amen. Amen. I'd venture to say that, you know, God had the long-term view in mind when it came to spreading the gospel around the world as well, especially concerning the return of the Lord. I mean, that's, you know, 6,000-7,000 years he's been playing this long game. You know?
Very much so. And and I think those who are most effective in evangelism think in those longer term arenas. I've been very involved with the leadership of the Lausanne Committee for World Evangelization, which was started by Billy Graham in 1974 to bring us together for evangelism and Mission America, which is another evangelism effort across the United States. I think the things I've seen most effective through all these years working within the broader church arena internationally with evangelism have been the things that have been designed for more lasting cultural change within the church or within our communities, rather than the showy things that, yeah, they raise money easily, but they really don't make all that big a difference in a lasting change.
Amen. As ministry leaders, how can we turn this ship around and refocus our teams? Because, you know, they want to show everybody that they're doing the job. You know, hey, look at this. We did this promotion and, like you say, we raised this much money, or we got this many views, or this many people attended our church services. But the short-term games, you know, easy come, easy go, put it like that. You know, yeah, you could pack your church out for this one event and then you're back down to 30 or 40 people again afterwards. But how can you get team members who want to see the immediate success? How can you change their focus onto, don't worry what was going to happen this year, next year, or 5 years? Let's look what 20 years ago or 20 years down the road, what's that going to look like? And then start stepping back from there.
I think it has to do with what we uphold as leaders of what we value. And if we value that one big event and that's the focus of not only our attention, but what we talk about, what we reward, what we encourage, then that's what people are going to respond to. If we will value things that are unseen, value things that have a lasting difference, value the things that won't be showy, but we know have impact, then our people will pick up on that and they will respond to that over time. You know, right, we're doing one of the things right now during the pandemic. I've been meeting with the whole faculty and staff every week by Zoom. We call it our grapevine because we want to keep the grapevine of the information of the campus going. And one of the things that I've really enjoyed about that, we've been doing it for a year and a half, is that we have every week what I call a hero of the week. And we lift up somebody whose work has gone unseen, who went above and beyond what they normally would do or be expected to do in order to serve students or serve each other. And it's really been fun to find these heroes of the week who knocked themselves out. Now, as a leader, as the president of the university, when I lift those up and I lift up week after week after week, a hero of the week who's an unsung hero, all of a sudden the campus is really interested in who are the people who are doing things beyond what we expected. That's a culture change. That's an outlook change. And leaders can do that in whatever you're setting. You just got to get a little bit creative and figure out how to do that and get people to respond to a different standard of what we call success.
Yeah, amen, amen. You know, my time in the military, I spent 12 years, I was a cavalry officer. And, you know, when you're in charge of this group of people, everyone knows you're only going to be there a year, maybe 18 months. And the decisions you make, yes, they're for your career advancement as well. But at the same time, the mission of the military never changes. You know, it's to prepare to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's the number one mission. Your unit has that small part that they play in doing that. But at the same time, as you are planning for these training exercises, planning for deployments, planning for missions in the short term, the concept is always, how can I help these men and women now continue to progress through their careers? You know, you just don't want to say, oh, well, go out and pick up the trash out in the parking lot. And every day, that's all they do. No, you have to send them to training. You have to send them to classes. You had to send them to do jobs that are slightly above their pay grade so that they can learn, oh, wow, okay, this is how you handle this situation and things like that. So, and when I do public speaking at business conferences, things like that, my talk is about team building from within. And that sounds like what you're talking about, because, you know, the example I'll use is, you know, you hire a receptionist to answer the phones and route mail and things like that. But when you notice that she's sitting at the desk and on her phone the last 2 hours of the day, it's time now for her to expand her horizon a little bit, maybe start working with the office manager and learn the filing systems and all that. And then one day the office manager calls out sick. You don't have to worry about it. Just tell the receptionist, okay, take over while she's gone. And then as you continue to do this and the office manager gets promoted to a division manager or maybe leaves, you don't have to go through the processes of putting out ads and interviewing people. Just promote the receptionist to office manager. And what do? Hire a new receptionist, start the process all over again. But that's how you build your team from within.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You do. And I think even in a small shop, you can grow your own leaders. And I found the people who are most effective and most committed are those we have grown from inside.
Amen.
And,
that's
right. You know, we could do that in a lot of different arenas. But I think it comes back to a core kind of question you were hitting at the beginning was when a leaders, Christian leaders making a decision, if we're going to be tempted, we're always going to be tempted to make the decision that lifts us up personally. Mm-hmm. And I think if leaders are not in tune to that question, the devil will use that more than about anything else to throw mm-hmm. us off course.
Amen.
And if you look at a lot of these churches who have crashed and burned, and it's because that ego, the leader, has gotten in the way, well, that's because it became self-serving. And when I'm making a decision, I always want to ask, is this benefiting me somehow more than it should? And where's the balance in that? And sometimes that's a half a second reflection, and sometimes that's a many day reflection assure that I'm out of that decision and I'm doing what's best for my university as a whole.
Amen. Amen. And our ministry, you know, from the time we started this thing, our mission statement is get the word out. I mean, that's how we function in everything we do. You know, if we're going to buy a new computer or whatever, I always sit back and I'll ask the question, okay, how is this going to help us accomplish our mission to get the word out? Is it something that's just, oh, this would be nice to have because, you know, it's a new video camera for interviews and all that? Well, is anything wrong with the old one right now?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, why should we spend this money on a new camera when this one's working perfectly fine?
Mm-hmm. You know? But, yep.
And there'd be, you know, when we have our little board meetings and stuff and we're talking about, well, should we get this, you know, that question comes back. How is this going to apply to our mission? Yeah. And there's many things we said, that's just a distraction. Off it goes. You know?
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah, when you're mission focused, decisions get a lot simpler.
Amen.
It always has to come back to the mission, and then they become pretty clear. God doesn't hide his will. He makes it pretty clear when we get our focus right.
Amen. Amen. In the opening of your book, The Long View, you describe an idea for a new reality show. And I just loved that example. Would you care to share this idea with our listeners? You know, perhaps some Hollywood producer is going to be listening. We'll reach out to
you. Well, it was a way to describe one of the core concepts of the book, and really the concept has gone so far that I'm writing another book that comes out. I've written another book that comes out in February that takes it to a new level. But the concept is to lead without a plan. And we at our university, we do not have a long-range plan. If you go to our website, there's no plan for Belhaven 2030. Instead, we want to capture opportunities as God brings them and be responsive to those opportunities rather than go to preset destinations of the future. So when people ask me, which they do often, well, you know, what will Belhaven University be in 10 years from now or 15 years from now? My very candid answer is I have no idea. But I do know that God's plan for us is far better than the best plan we could come up with around conference tables. So we want to find his direction. Now, we plan very well what we know we're going to do. We know we're going to play soccer. We're going to feed students. We're going to teach history. We're going to teach nursing. So we know those things. We plan those well. But we do not plan future destinations. And so in trying to help the campus come together with that concept, we focused it around the idea of we want to be a sailboat prepared to catch the wind of go where God's wind takes us, rather than a powerboat that goes where we assume God wants us to go and totally ignores the wind. And part of the reason for that image is that Christian ministries have gotten really good at building powerboats. We build stuff that looks like the secular world now, and we're pretty good at it, and we're pretty proud of them. But we're ignoring God's wind by doing that. And so the reality show concept was that it was a contest to see you could pick a boat of how far of that you wanted. One was a big speedboat, and one was another boat, and one was a little bitty sailboat. And then after the contestants picked the boat, then the rules were laid out of how far you had to go. And of course, the distance they had to go was farther than any of the powerboats could go, because a powerboat will always run out of gas. Mm-hmm. And a poor, worn out, beat up sailboat will outdistance a powerboat every time. And so ministries and churches, sometimes who feel inadequate because maybe they feel small, they don't have the right equipment, they don't have everything everybody else does, they can still outdistance others every single time, because if they're willing to be empowered by the wind of God, they can go where God's wind takes them. And so it was just a way to think through. And if you come to my campus and ask people about planning, most of them will talk to you about the powerboat and the sailboat. They all understand that concept because it's an easy way to understand what we do.
Hey, man, I love that. I love that story. I was like, oh, I got to ask about that. That just hit it home. I mean, that was a grand slam home run. That was excellent.
Amen. Well, we've gotten enamored in the church with planning, and we've gotten very dependent on it. And that's what the next book talks about is how do you break free from this grip we have on planning to assume our productivity? And it's not an easy solution. It's a complex solution. I think it's an absolutely critical solution for organizations and Christian ministries to make. I'll give you one quick example. In breaking free from that planning, we were talking at the beginning of this program about the arts and how we're really strong in the arts, and we are. Well, I've been worried about these students in the arts, especially as the pandemic hit, and how are they going to be equipped for a job? Because my daughter's in theater and graduated from Belhaven, got a master's in leadership from Belhaven. And but, you know, like every theater parent or dance parent or art parent, you say, well, I'm really glad you can do that, but how are you really going to make a living? And and that's just a natural question. So we put something in place a few years ago for art students in the arts, and that is that if they take a double major and that pushes them into their fifth year, they can go tuition free.
Wow.
And and then we thought, that's such a good idea. Let's do it for everybody. So any student at our campus who comes as a freshman, and if they double major and they stay and graduate, they can go into the fifth year. If it goes into the fifth year, then go tuition free. So if you want to take education and music, or you want to take biology and communications, or you want to take history and you know, graphic design, you can do that. And if it pushes you into the fifth year, you go tuition free. And for our students, again, that's where the affordability question comes in, because now they get a double major, fifth year tuition free. They get a master's degree for free. And so, you know, it becomes pretty affordable in a hurry for families when you have those kinds of things. But that came from a culture where we didn't have to have a long process to make that decision, because we saw that as one of those sailboat moments that God was, wind was blowing. And when I announced to the faculty we were doing that, they cheered. And when I announced it to the students, I had students coming up with in tears. They said, I can't believe I'm going to get to do my double major for free. And it really, in today's culture, you've got to be more broadly prepared. And Christian universities should be leading the way in this.
Amen.
And so if you're going to teach from a foundation of a Christian principles, you want the best equipped people out there possible because they're going to represent the Lord because you've taught them from a biblical worldview. And so we want them well equipped. And so, but that's just one example of how kind of this sailboat works, that we didn't have to go through a lot of structure and planning and say, well, that's not in our plan. We'll think about that in a few years. No, God kind of inspired the moment. Let's take it. Let's go.
Amen. Amen. That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, Dr. Pereira, this is all so interesting. In your book, The Long View, Lasting Strategies for Rising Leaders, how can someone obtain a copy? Is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon and all the usual places. It's not too hard to find. Or if somebody wants to write to me, I'd be happy to help them get one.
Okay. And what's your contact information?
The easiest way to get me is through the university website, Belhaven, with one L, BelHaven.edu, BelHaven.edu. And then if you look for president, I'm not hard to find. So my email's there and they can write to me. And also when they go to the website, they're going to find out, you know, we mostly talked about traditional students today, but the majority of our students are really graduate students. We've got 25 online master's degree students from all over the world studying in biblical studies, business, education, sports administration, health administration. And then we've got two doctoral programs, one in educational leadership and a doctorate in business administration. And so, you know, education has changed so much. You can reach the whole world kind of like this podcast does. You can reach the whole world with education in ways we couldn't in the past. And I love it and been responsive to it. We've been a leader in this because we just want to capture God's opportunity. So you know, if those, you think about 18-year-olds when you think about college, but I've got probably more 40 and 50-year-old students. I've got 18-year-olds who are coming and completing a degree and a lot of them doing it for advancement in career and a lot of them do it to make their kids proud. So, it really is fun. And I find that those people just, again, in our graduate programs and our online adult programs, they're going to find that same foundation of faith in all their classes. And those people are recommitting to Christ in wonderful ways and really finding a fulfillment kind of as a second chance opportunity in their life.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. And we'll put links to all that down in the show notes below. Amen. Folks, this has been a great, just an insightful interview. We definitely need to shift our focus, especially our Christian outreach focus, from short-term gains, though they are important, but we need to keep our main focus on the future, the long-term gains. A smaller short-term gain will allow us to lay that solid foundation for the long-term gains as long as we keep our focus where it needs to be, no matter the area of concern we're looking at. I highly recommend Dr. Roger Parrott's book, The Long View, Lasting Strategies for Rising Leaders, to you. You can go down to the show notes and order your copy today. Do it right now while you're thinking about it. In fact, this would make a great gift for your pastor or a Christian who's operating a business. Praise God. Order two or three of his books, The Long View, Lasting Strategies for Rising Leaders, and sow them in their life. Dr. Parrott, I want to invite you back in February when you launch your new book, and we'll do an interview about that book.
That would be a treat. I really would enjoy that. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Dr. Roger Pereira and myself, this is Bob Thibodeau reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.